It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. Really good. And hey, this week is talking about something we hear all the time in the news and in counseling circles. That is the subject of addiction. You've dealt with this subject through many of your shows through the years, kind of revisiting some of these points. Addiction, but not only addiction, but also recovery.
And once again, we can't be exhaustive in this. So a lot of times counseling is very important. Counseling is important for addiction and addiction recovery and to do it properly. So I want to try to kind of just broaden this a bit. I don't think I've gone quite in this direction before talking about addiction and recovery. And so, Mark, before we were on the air, you asked the question, are we talking about behavioral or
substances? Yeah, like alcohol, drugs.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit of both. We're going to focus probably mostly on the substances.
It used to always be just substances. The whole area of calling behavioral pathologies addictions mm-hmm. is a relatively new thing. Mm-hmm. We've known alcohol and drug addiction for seems like centuries.
Yeah.
Or drunkenness, it used to be called.
Yeah. And unfortunately, now that we've defined addictions as diseases, then the crossover is going to be these behaviors are also diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So we're off the hook on everything,
right.
Unfortunately. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you know that that isn't true. But even the behavioral addictions, the reason they become addictive is because they do the same thing that substances do, and that is every addiction occurs because it increases dopamine at some point.
And dopamine is, again, for people who they've heard that term, not sure what is dopamine?
It's the feel good. It's actually a pain inhibitor.
It's created by your body.
Created by your body,
your
we call
brain.
It
uh-huh.
endogenous. Mm-hmm. addiction is physical, it's mental, and it's spiritual. And I want to key in on that part of it as we're going through the show today, too, because addictions are, they can start off physical, but a lot of them start off spiritual, which I'll explain a little bit later. But whenever an addiction gets to be a self-medication, it becomes a spiritual issue. Because, of course, what we're medicating, if we're not medicating physical pain, we're medicating emotional pain. That has to do with my worldview, my view of how life should be. And, of course, as Christians, we know that, you know, as Christ said, in the world you'll have tribulation. That's one part. But he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So it sort of presents to us kind of like almost there's a bit of a dichotomy there where we're living in this world, but you're in the world, but not of the world. So there's a place in our experience in this world where we can be in Christ and have this peace that he's talking about and be confident that that we don't have to worry about, have worries in the world. He's overcome the world. So if we, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. We have so many biblical promises that have to do with this life in Christ, and sometimes it's presented to us, it comes to us as a bit of a dualism or a dichotomy where we're in the world, and boy, we've got tribulation in the world, but there's this place that we can go to in the world, but not of the world. And so anyway, I'm stressing the point here that addictions so often fundamentally are spiritual. So I want to get to that a little bit later.
Okay.
But yeah, so every addiction, whether it's something that I'm intaking or something, a behavioral addiction, it becomes an addiction, an obsession, something that I, or a compulsion, because it increases dopamine. So we have these, our body creates more its own morphine. It's called endogenous morphine or endorphins. This is like a contraction of those two words. And they're peptides. They excite the secretion of dopamine. And then there are these exogenous stimulants like narcotics or alcohol or whatever the case is. And they do one of two things. They either mimic the endorphins and or they block GABA. So GABA is a dopamine inhibitor. So they're inhibiting the inhibitor, which means they increase the dopamine. So dopamine is the key. These things either mimic our these peptides, endorphins, these peptides that excite the excretion or the secretion of dopamine, or else they inhibit the inhibitor, and the result is the same, you know, the increase of dopamine. And so addictions can get their start because they give us this euphoric kind of pain-free experience. And so they become addictive because also, not just because they give me this euphoric sense, but in their absence, once I've become addicted, in their absence, I have like anxiety, mental and neurological anxiety. Neurological anxiety meaning that the amygdala is sending messages to the fighter, you know, the fight-flight messages, and so I've got a lot of adrenaline going, low serotonin, low dopamine, because the body's getting ready to fight or ready for fight or flight.
Is this the same as withdrawal?
Yeah, withdrawal, because what we're doing is, so when you start to overstimulate the dopamine in your body, your body shuts down its dopamine secretion because it's trying to balance that out. The body doesn't want too much dopamine. If you have too much dopamine, your body's not going to take care of some necessary functions. For example, you can't respond to an emergency if you've got dopamine, too much dopamine. So this GABA, GABA, I won't try to say what it means, but it's a dopamine inhibitor. So it blocks the secretion of dopamine, and so for that very reason, your body has to function in these other ways as well. You know, you need sleep, you need to eat, you need to respond to situations, emergencies, those kinds of things. What kind of emergencies? Well, you know, I suppose that they can get to be even things like putting on a coat because I'm getting cold, or
that's an emergency.
Well, your body would treat it like something that is the body wants to maintain a healthy temperature or a comfortable temperature. But if you've got a lot of dopamine,
well, I would think also, it won't respond. Also, how to handle emotions.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I mean, all kinds of emotions that come all of our ways. You mentioned anxiety mm-hmm. starts to increase mm-hmm. because we don't know how to handle emotional mm-hmm. things in life, and that's why you're checking out with some kind of behavior or some kind of drug, because you can't handle the highs and lows of life.
It's circular. We have anxiety, so this dopamine feels really good. Now we have the dopamine, and if we don't have the dopamine, we get the anxiety. So we get it kind of a circular thing. So that's the physical part of that's the physical part of the dependency. Then there's the mental part. And this is the side of the addiction that has to do with our beliefs and our narrative. Not necessarily worldview kinds of beliefs, cosmological beliefs, you know, the beginning of, not necessarily those, but beliefs even about my own personal value, control, resources, those kinds of things that we've talked a lot about. The narrative of life, the narrative about how people view me.
Magical thinking,
those kinds of things, mm-hmm. and so as you've pointed out too, those beliefs, the belief side can generate its own anxiety, mm-hmm. and so a lot of the aspects of addiction have to do with kind of calming this whole mental side of it's not just physical pain. You know, there are people that go into the hospital, get a surgery, get a pain killer, and I've talked to people who have these certain diseases that there's a lot of pain in these diseases, and it's chronic, it's ongoing. You know,
and even the answer has like been in the last 10 years, opioids.
Opioids,
which has become a huge problem and addiction, but that's almost more of kind of just a I wouldn't call it a sickness, but A dependence.
A dependence. And, uh-huh. and again, this is like when it starts off, just, you know, you're getting this, you're getting a painkiller. The body can't produce enough dopamine to override this pain because it's
real pain, physical
real
pain,
pain mm-hmm. And chronic kinds of pains. And so people are taking these exogenous stimulants created outside of the body to mimic mimic the peptides that are going to, you know, excite the a secretion of dopamine. And it could happen result from a painful narrative too. Trauma in life, family.
Maybe
origin,
sometimes it seems like it morphs from in that. You start off with bad back pain and some real pain in your life, and then you find these opioids, and then you find that helps you with all these other areas of your life, because that is what it helps you. It helps you escape your emotions. And
whether you intended it to or not.
Right.
It has that effect.
That's been the insidious part of the opioid crisis.
It's sort of like, come on out, let's have a drink. You know, well, I don't drink. Well, just try it, you know. So we go out, you know, it'll help you relax. It helps me relax, you know, and then I find that, as you say, over a short period of time, I also don't worry about the garage so much as I used to.
Side effect I kind of like.
Yeah, so then you start the self-medication. Then it gets down into our third aspect of it, where this is really a spiritual, this is where it actually becomes spiritual. And I think that a lot of addictions, unless it started, as we were saying, just to as a medication, addiction to a medication that was a painkiller, unless it started that way, and I'm not necessarily talking about pot because I get headaches, but some of these painkillers and anti-inflammatories that some diseases, you just find it necessary to have this. Unless it starts that way, I would say that addictions are fundamentally spiritual. Fundamentally, they have to do with beliefs, and beliefs are fundamentally spiritual. So addiction then has these three aspects to it. It has this physical aspect, a mental aspect, and a spiritual aspect. And what that means is that when you go into recovery, you have to address these three areas, and you have to address them in balance, because you can't just deal with the physical aspect. And a lot of times people want to just deal with the physical aspect of it, or even if it's maybe it's not a substance, maybe it's pornography, and so they want to just get rid of the pornography without dealing with the mental and the spiritual side of it, you're not going to make much progress.
Okay, talking about addictions, but second half of the show, recovery. How do you change this? How do you heal problems in the addictive area? Daniel does a lot of work with people who struggle with both behavioral and substance addictions, and he would maybe like to help you if you are so inclined, or maybe you know somebody who's tried lots of different approaches. Daniel would love to have a shot at what is going on in your life or your friend's life. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're going to find this and about 5 years of podcasts there. And also the office is Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at the subject of addiction, but also in the second half of the show today, recovery, how to change addictive behaviors. And Daniel has a lot of experience helping people with this. You said it's addiction is a physical issue, it's a mental issue, but you say most of all a spiritual issue.
Fundamentally, I think it's a spiritual issue. If you stop to think of what people take medications for, first and foremost, right at the very top under medical, you know, strictly medical issues, you have anxiety and depression. And those are, and I know there's a lot of push out there to explain anxiety and depression as diseases that you can't help. The reason that causes me some problems is that it makes it seem like there's something that God didn't account for. He was okay in the years leading up to, you know, the 19th century. But then past the 19th century, you know, they begin to surface these things that God just has no answers for. Mm. And only pharmaceutics have number, you know. Well, you might look at that and say, well, that's interesting that it started at such and such a time. And so what else started during those times? You know, a lot, we changed the way that we live, the breakdown of communities, urbanization, life becomes more impersonal. And if you look at Scripture, it's directing us, particularly the body of Christ, God's only real concern on earth, in the direction of, you know, deeper relationships, more intimate relationships with Christ, with one another. And to the extent that we're not doing that, we find ourselves increasingly off in this area where the addictions are because of these mental and spiritual questions unanswered.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about recovery here. And again, as we said earlier, Mark, we're just kind of hitting the tops here. So this isn't, it's not like you can listen to this show and then be okay. This just scratches the surface, and it's kind of like a commentary on basically the things that cause these addictions and basically the areas that we have to go in order to recover. I say that addictions are largely fundamentally spiritual, and that's why the 12-step programs are the most successful over time, have been the most successful generally. They don't work for everyone, but they have a reputation of being successful. Whenever someone starts a recovery program, they almost invariably base it on the 12-step. And the 12-step program started off as a Christian organization.
It did, yeah.
It was very successful because they addressed the spiritual aspect of it. And
they call it a spiritual program.
And even today, mm-hmm. it's your higher power. You know, it's still
well, I've spiritual. Always found when I've read 12-step material, it's kind of Christianity 101 mm-hmm. without Jesus mm-hmm. Specified.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, this is about sobering you up. It's not about saving you. Mm-hmm. But it is about sobering you up, getting you out of denial. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people say that's maybe the main thing that's good about it, is it sobers you up and gets you out of mm-hmm. denial, which mm-hmm. is a big part of any kind of addiction mm-hmm. because most addicts don't think they really are addicts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the critical part that it no longer addresses is that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, mm-hmm. which is an ongoing life experience. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, again, people, you know, there might be a family member who's got, you know, a pornography addiction, an alcohol addiction, a drug addiction, and the emphasis is on if we can just get them away from the pornography, the alcohol, the drugs.
Right.
But the thing is, if they don't have that fundamental spiritual paradigm shift, then they're always looking to be rescued from
sure.
you know, one rescue program
well,
after
you,
another.
Well, you say that, why certain recovery programs don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might sober you up, but it doesn't deal with the deeper issues that are driving the addiction.
In fact, certain recovery programs, and I think I'm going to talk about, if we were to say, what if you have a church and they have some recovery programs, what's the one that you don't want people to know you're enrolled in? I mean, so
probably sex addiction.
Sex addiction, uh-huh. exactly. I mean, you know, so if it's a gambling recovery thing, you know,
oh,
and you
okay.
see, you know, that's
narcotics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, oh, you gamble?
Alcohol.
I didn't know that. Yeah, so yeah, you know, alcohol,
overeating.
Those, yeah, but when it gets to the sexual parts, you kind of don't want people to know that you're in that group. There's an awful lot of shame,
right.
more shame involved in that very intimate addiction, and so. The care that is taken in recovering those, because so many of the recovery programs just increase the fear and shame, and that was the basis for the addiction to begin with,
right.
and so we're going the wrong direction. So those are programs I think that a lot of times simply don't work when you're trying to. Encourage someone away from an addiction, one of the things you have to do is address that spiritual spiritual aspect of it. It's got to be, you have to be increasing that sense of personal value, control, and power. When I say control, that doesn't mean that the addict gets to control me now. No, all of us want control, not control over other people. People say, I don't want control.
They want self-control.
I'm not a control freak.
They want self-control.
They want, I don't want control over other people. I don't want other people controlling me. I don't like that part. And so I want control over issues in life, circumstances in life that have an impact on me. Now, I know I can't have control over all those things. So one of two things happens. I either stress over that or I surrender that to the Lord's control. Yeah, learn to. Well, we say learn to live with it. For the Christian, that means I don't control these things, but God.
I'm surrendered to God.
I'm surrendered to God. Mm-hmm. That's right. So we defer that. So basically, I want to talk about just quickly five components, basic components to this to a recovery program. how to get this turned around? And again, each one of these five, you could say, well, this you could spend an entire week on this, or you could say each one of these five could require some coaching or some counseling,
okay,
or some advice or somebody to talk you through
some accountability.
This. Yeah, so I will just give you these five and what they're really about. The first one, of course, is cost, and I've said to people, you never change a behavior unless it's costing you more than you can afford to pay. Now, that's in your own perception. Like, you know, other people can look at my life and see, Dan, that methamphetamine you're taking is destroying you, you know, but if I don't see it myself. So the cost means I have to see the cost.
Yes.
I have to see it as something I'm not willing to pay that. Now, we call this, for the alcoholic, we call this everybody's got to hit the bottom.
Yeah.
You have to get to the place where they realize, I can't afford to lose these things.
I have to come out of denial.
Yeah, I can't afford to lose these things. Now, the cost, I think, fundamentally is also a spiritual thing. Sometimes people can say, this alcohol, this cost, it's eating away at my muscle mass, it's eating away at my memory. So it can be things like that. But even beyond that, you know, why does muscle mass matter to me? Why does my memory matter to me? Because it matters to my sense of personal value, sure, my sense of personal control. Mm-hmm. So these become spiritual things.
Okay.
We have to have a sense of value, control, and power. Because of why? Because of myself. Well, what is self? Well, that's that uniquely human spiritual part that makes us different from other animals. I'm aware of myself, and I'm aware of yourself. And that's that takes us into that whole spiritual realm. So you have to count up the cost. And so people can be like, what's the cost of my family? What's the cost of myself? What's the cost of my health? What's the cost of my relationship with God? What's the cost of my ministry? What's the cost to the body of Christ? If I'm not functioning, I'm not feeding the body of Christ. And you don't have to be a pastor to feed the body of Christ. Paul says, that which every joint supplies. So you and your relationships feed the body of Christ when they're healthy. They poison the body of Christ when they're not. So what's the cost in all these areas? What's it costing when I do that? What am I, you know, if God's put a ministry in my life, it's costing that ministry for me to do. You can't have both.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost also is one of those things that you can get like an initial impression of the cost, but the more you understand about your life and your relationships and where you're and your walk with Christ, the more you understand about what it's actually costing you. So the first is cost. The second is, so you have to recognize the cost. You have to have a support system. You've got to have help with this a lot of times. Sometimes people can quit something. You know, I smoked when I was in high school and got to the place where, you know, I realized I don't like the smell of it. I don't like the feel of it. And then somebody just said, then don't borrow mine. So,
right.
So that was the end of that.
Cold
sometimes,
turkey.
Sometimes people can do that, but an awful lot of times with these more entrenched addictions, it takes help. And one of the reasons why it takes help is because those relationships are where I get my sense of value, control, and power. We have to remove the event, of course. I'm going to have to rush through these. We have to remove the event, of course, and we have to actively pursue these a more fulfilling goal.
You have to replace it with something that's more meaningful.
There has, and finally, we have to be other-centered. And what I want to want you to realize as I list these off, cost, you need support, that's relationships. You need to remove the event, and you need to active pursue fulfilling goals and other centered. All of those have to do, they're fundamentally spiritual. Mm-hmm. So that was my beginning point, that these addictions are fundamentally spiritual. They have to do with the narrative.
You have to have a spiritual solution.
And so when you're mm-hmm. solving them, they've got to be, the solution has to be fundamentally spiritual.
Okay, just again, just high-pointing addiction and also recovery, some of the things that are going to be involved if you really are going to break an addiction. Daniel helps a lot of people who struggle with addictive behaviors and substance abuse. Perhaps you are struggling with this, you know somebody who is, and you need help. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, call me, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me at the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find this podcast and about 4 or 5 years of other podcasts, a lot of them on the same topics or expanded versions of that topic, offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, always great stuff with Daniel Pryor, the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.